This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
the Sudanese military junta announced the suspension of all forms of negotiations with the Freedom and Change Coalition, and they call for an early national election in Sudan within the next 9 months.
That's reporter Mangu Ugale on the latest from Sudan. Details coming up. Also, according to the UN, an estimated 5.4 million people affected by worsening drought in Somalia will likely face severe food shortages by next month. And villagers in southern Cameroon are relocating following a series of lion attacks on their livestock. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story: the military junta in Sudan has deployed troops around government buildings and major roads leading to Khartoum a day after 35 protesters reportedly were killed. The head of the Transitional Military Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, said today the council has cancelled talks with activists demanding a civilian-led government. Reporter Mangu Ugale has been monitoring developments in the twin cities of Khartoum and Omdurman. He says the announcement by the junta has angered activists and paralyzed life in the capital.
The Sudanese military junta announced the suspension of all forms of negotiations with the Freedom and Change Coalition, and they call for an early national election in Sudan within the next 9 months. According to the head of the military junta, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, he says this will be supervised and monitored by the regional and international observatory bodies. He said this during a statement broadcast on the Sudan National TV early today, Tuesday morning. Burhan also said there will be a steering interim body which will be formed soon to run the country for the next 9 months before the election is held.
What is the reaction of the ordinary people on the streets, especially the protesters who have been sitting in front of the military headquarters? What is their reaction to this statement?
The reaction has been, it's obvious that they have rejected this move. The Freedom and Change Coalition, they have rejected the move announced by the military junta, and they called on the mass public and their supporters across the country to continue protesting against the decision of the military junta. So on the street, you could see a lot of gathering. Young people especially are gathering on the junctions and on the main streets. Life has been paralyzed, and people are just sitting at home. People are gathering on the main street, maybe just to try to monitor the situation, how it goes.
And today is Eid al-Fitr, and you know, this is a big day in Islamic countries like Sudan. How are people celebrating this Eid?
There are some parts in Sudan are celebrating Eid today, but majority have decided to celebrate Eid tomorrow.
Activists are saying that there are militias on the streets shooting at them. I mean, what kind of troops are deployed on the streets of Khartoum, according to what you have seen?
Since yesterday, mainly on the street, you see rapid support forces.
Who were formerly the Janjaweed, right?
Previously known as Janjaweed, led by the current deputy military junta head, Mohamed Himeti. He's known as Himeti. This is what the Sudanese in general, the population, the civilians are calling them militia, because they are not, according to them, they are not military, they are not trained. They were just given guns and for certain purposes. But at the end of the day, they even came to the capital now in charge of some, basic installation and basic the government.
And what do they tell people when, for instance, I've seen videos where they stop cars and ask passengers to disembark. What do they tell people?
So there seems to be asking them questions like, if civilians were allowed alone to overthrow the previous regime, would that be successful? So they are saying they will not leave the power. They are not in a position of leaving the power to the civilians alone. They also need to be part of the government. And to add on that, on the latest information also, the death toll on the situation of yesterday, according to the Sudanese Doctors Committee, lately this morning, that the death toll has increased to 35. But still voices within the Declaration of Freedom and Change Forces are still saying this is not the real figure of the death toll. Some of them believe still that bodies were thrown into the River Nile, but this is yet to be confirmed as time goes.
That's reporter Mangu Ugel reporting from the Sudanese capital Khartoum earlier today. The United Nations Refugee Agency warns an estimated 5.4 million people affected by worsening drought in Somalia will likely face severe food shortages by next month without immediate life-saving assistance. Lisa Schlein reports from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UN Refugee Agency reports that climate-related droughts are occurring with greater frequency in Somalia. This, it says, is making things worse for the millions of people already displaced and deprived of essential necessities by the country's chronic instability and conflict. This latest disaster comes just as Somalis were beginning to recover from the devastating impact of a two-year drought that ended in 2017. That event forced more than a million people to flee their homes in search of food, water, and work. The UNHCR reports the current drought has displaced nearly 50,000 people so far this year. Agency spokesman Baba Balosh says food shortages already are biting. He warns time is running out to help those affected, as the impact of the worsening drought is likely to peak by next month. He tells VOA the condition of some 2.2 million people is particularly severe, and they likely will need urgent emergency assistance.
The risk of death and the dangers that the displaced population or the affected population are facing are real. If aid is not provided in time, people could start losing their lives. Let's not forget that in the past years, with efforts of the international community, local authorities, and everyone else, famine has been avoided.
But not every year. In 2011, drought and famine in Somalia killed more than 250,000 people, half of them children under age 5. UN agencies agree many lessons have been learned from that tragedy. Balosh says many of the support mechanisms that since have been successfully used to combat such disasters could be quickly reactivated to deal with this crisis. But he says this can only be done if the money needed to contend with this humanitarian emergency is forthcoming. Unfortunately, he says, the Somali operation remains severely underfunded. He says only 20% of the UN's $710 million appeal for Somali drought relief has been received. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
An estimated 1.5 billion Muslims around the world are marking Eid al-Fitr. The holiday comes at the end of the holy month of Ramadan, but the start of the holiday can vary from country to country. This year, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the United Arab Emirates have announced their first day of Eid is today. However, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and the Palestinian territories will not start until tomorrow. Eid is oftentimes time to when local religious officials are able to first see the crescent moon and declare the holiday in their areas. Villagers in South Cameroon are relocating following a series of lion attacks on their livestock. Cameroon authorities and wildlife conservationists are warning about the growing threat to endangered animals from human-wildlife conflict. Moki Edwin Kendeka reports from Intui village on the outskirts of Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
45-year-old rancher Ali Sambo, his wife and three children, fled their village of Jodli on Saturday after lions attacked.
The lions killed the total of the cows, making 53 cows.
He says the lions killed 53 of their cows within 2 weeks in the villages of Adimbi, Jodli and Jinga. He says he does not know how many he alone has lost. Sambo is among dozens of people who fled to Ntui, a village 30 kilometers away on the outskirts of Yaoundé. Cattle ranchers like Sambo, who have been losing their livestock to lions, fear that if they and their families remain in their villages, they could be next. Sambo voices a common view among ranchers that the lions should be killed as the animals have devastated their livelihoods. Kizito Ongba, a forest rancher deployed by Cameroon wildlife officials to the area, says their first mission is to make sure the population is safe. But he says the lions should also be secured and returned to their national habitat.
Il faut d'abord garder son calme en première position. En seconde position, il est important.
He says the villagers should remain calm, avoid being isolated, and desist from coming out to fight back when the lions attack. Ongba says they suspect the lions came from overcrowded reserves like the Benue, Kalfu, or Waza wildlife parks in northern Cameroon for greener pastures. He says it is also possible they came in from neighboring Gabon, as some lions did in 2014. Don Asian the highest ranking government official, where the lions have been attacking, says authorities are prepared to compensate ranchers who lost their cattle.
C'est leur bête, un peu comme le miel attire les abeilles. Nous avons saisi.
He says the population, especially cattle ranchers, should be patient. The Civil Protection Department of Cameroon's Ministry of Territorial Administration is preparing to compensate all those who have lost their livestock, says Wildlife conservation groups say as the animals attack people and their property, so too are people attacking the animals and their habitat. Increased population pressure and deforestation has transformed parts of Cameroon's wildlife parks to farms and villages, leading to human-wildlife conflicts over living space and food. Save the Cameroon Forest wildlife conservation expert Rigobert Bihina says communities need better incentives for development that also involve wildlife conservation.
Les populations qui vivent autour des forêts et autour des aires protégées.
He says the government and its development partners should pay particular attention to people who live in villages surrounding national parks. By funding revenue-generating activities like promoting agriculture and aquaculture and providing drinkable water, says Bihina, they can prevent destruction of animal habitats. In 2014, elephants and hippopotamuses killed several people and destroyed farms after being pushed out of Kalfu Park in northern Cameroon. Southern Cameroon's Kampo Ma'an National Park in 2010 reported that elephants, monkeys, gorillas and other animals had shifted their migration because of commercial palm oil and rubber plantations. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Ntui, Cameroon.
You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz, on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Nineteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Sudanese protesters gathered today to observe Eid al-Fitr prayers one day after a deadly crackdown in the capital Khartoum. According to the UN, an estimated 5.4 million people affected by worsening drought in Somalia will likely face severe food shortages by next month. And villagers in southern Cameroon are relocating following a series of lion attacks on their livestock. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. A Zimbabwe government minister's son has been caught up in a scandal, and critics say that shows the government's repeated pledges about intending to fix the economy and curb corruption have failed. Hadigando gives us more on the story.
Four police officers have been charged for under-declaring money seized in a sting operation on illegal money dealers. Detectives Tafazo Chidawa, Tendai Mangena, Edward Selemani, and Sidney Mgomba, attached to the Criminal Investigations Department's theft from car section, are facing criminal abuse of office charges. The detectives had raided number 3 St. Fernand flats on 5th Avenue in Harare, which held the offices of Neve Mchangwa, the son of the Minister of Information, Monica Mchangwa, and former advisor to the President, Chris Mchangwa. The raid took place on Tuesday, yielded $200,000 in unreported cash, according to media reports. Neve Mchangwa was not present when the officers pounced. His associates, Darlington Dawa Chiwara and Henry Abrahams, were, however, arrested on charges of illegally dealing in foreign exchange. The officers then conspired and secured a bribe from Chango's associates and proceeded to only seize $40,000, of which $20,000 was declared at their station. Political analysts point out that the information minister, Monica Mchangwa, has recently threatened to name and shame parallel market money dealers. Thomas Stole weighs in on the matter.
Well, this is hypocrisy in its highest order, really, because when he's pointing 4 fingers to the other people, the other finger is pointing right to her, because it's her son who has been caught up in this forex trading. But if the son has access to this kind of money, you then begin to ask yourself how much money is within the family and within the comrades who are running this government that is not within the official fiscal channels and RBZ. This could be a tip of the iceberg.
Stole says that the Zimbabwean government is kleptocratic and its actions have led to the economic meltdown. He says the country's fortunes will not turn around given the government's attitude toward eradicating corruption.
The regime's DNA cannot be read well without reading word corruption throughout. And that's what we are seeing, that this current government is not going to take us out of this crisis because of the systemic corruption that is endemic and prevalent within government. And we see this extending to the families of those who are connected to those in high public offices. And the current crisis we are facing is man-made, and it's only a few people who are enjoying. There's also a selective application of the law where we see that those in high places and who are connected to high government officials can do wrong and get away with murder.
In a text, Information Minister Mchangwa said her son was not involved in the matter and declined to share his contact information so he could be interviewed. The revelations about the minister's son came in the wake of a question and answer session in Parliament when opposition senator Lillian Timvias of the MDC Alliance queried the finance minister Ntuli Ncube over the steps being taken to curb illegal foreign currency dealings in the country. The finance minister stated that law enforcement agencies were pursuing the issue and that he was also monitoring the case. President Emmerson Mnangagwa introduced tough laws in 2018, ostensibly to deal with unlicensed foreign currency traders. The law stipulates up to 10 years in jail for those convicted and forfeiture of their assets. A number of high-ranking ZANU-PF and government ministers have been allegedly involved in corrupt deals in critical economic areas such as mining, agriculture, and fuel. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo.
Cameroon's forest tribes have long depended on insects to supplement their diets. The palm weevil grub, a fat worm found in palm trees, is such a popular source of protein that it has squirmed out of the forests and onto the plates at popular restaurants. Moki Edwin Kenzeka has this report from Anzuanki in Yaounde.
In Cameroon's capital, some unusual ingredients are wiggling into city kitchens. At Le Cycle Municipal Restaurant, Chef Emile Ngulu cooks palm weevil grubs to create dishes of international standards.
C'est le meilleur protéine qui existe. On n'a même pas encore fini de faire l'inventaire de tous les apports.
Ngulu says they are the best protein that exists, and they have not even finished making an inventory of all the benefits they obtain by eating the palm tree worms. For people used to eating meat and fish, finding worms on their dinner plates can be a shock. But the palm weevil grub can also be a pleasant surprise for many consumers like Paul Ndom.
Le service est très bien fait, très bien préparé.
He says the service is very well done, the dish well prepared, and they are enjoying it. He says he hadn't seen this way of cooking yet, but that it is great. The high demand from chefs has led to a shortage of palm weevil grubs. Villagers like Valentin Bidja, who used to gather the grubs in the forest, see it as an opportunity for people in rural areas.
Moi, je trouve que quand on fait l'élevage au niveau du village,
Bidja says when they raise worms in the village, it is less stressful and more profitable, and that in the village they spend less energy. The growing popularity of the grub in Cameroon, Chef Ngulu says, has made it several times more expensive than beef.
Quand on fait gastronomie au Cameroun précisément, on a besoin.
When we do gastronomy in Cameroon, we need authentic, natural, organic, and precious ingredients. I often like to say that the palm tree worm is the equivalent in Africa of caviar in Europe. People already eat palm weevil in other African countries and in South America and Southeast Asia. Only time will tell if it climbs onto menus in Europe and beyond. For Anne Mireille Zwanke Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Tomas Blondet, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an examination of the presidential elections in Malawi and South Africa. Peter Mutharika and Cyril Ramaphosa both won. But do their victories reflect the will of the people? The power of incumbency on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/Sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.